shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Yes, it is Wednesday and we are back for another Triple M footy news update. And as ever, we are joined down the line by Tommy Brown in the West. Welcome back, Tommy.
Good morning, Tommy. Melbourne training this morning. Excitement building ahead of the grand final, but looking forward to discussing that and lots more this morning. There's plenty going on.
Absolutely. It's going to be a weird kind of week off with no footy this week, but our hands are tied and we'll just do the best we can. We'll dive.
Some people joke. They say, "Oh, why was there a grand final bye? We shouldn't have one." And my answer is very simple, Tommy. The AFL needed to get here and quarantine for the grand final.
Yep.
It was well thought out and quite deliberate.
Yeah, it would have been a logistical nightmare trying to get everyone in and who got exemptions and who didn't and all that. So the AFL have done an exceptional job this year to keep the show on the road. Speaking of the grand final, which we'll be waiting for, the Dogs have a couple of selection headaches. What do you think is going to happen down there?
Look, I thought this was fairly straightforward in the sense that Keith and Waitman would come back into the side and Cordy and Johannesson would become the medical. Well, Cordy would go out, then Johannesson would go back to being the medical sub.
Yep.
But Tommy, you've got another quite twist on this.
Yeah, well, we were just talking off air and, this might not carry too much weight, but Latham Vandermeer was subbed out in the second half of their prelim final. I'm not sure if there's an injury there that you're aware of or not, but that might be flagging that potentially he's the first one out instead of Johannesson. Johannesson was used as a sub a couple of times. Do you have any insight there?
No, I'll chase that one up. I mean, Johannesson's interesting because he's been used as a sub recently and come on with sort of great effect.
Yeah.
So I'll follow that up.
And Vandermeer was quite good. He kicked a goal early in, I think it was the first quarter, a nice check side from kind of near the point post. And then Anthony Scott did nothing wrong when he came on as sub as well. He played quite well. So it's a good issue to have going into a grand final, having blokes knocking on the door, I guess. But, we'll wait and see how that one plays out this week. Moving along to the D's, how are they shaping up?
I think the Demons are looking at no changes. Stephen May is training this morning. Melbourne's told me all week there's no issue as such with his hamstring. He apparently hasn't even had it scanned, according to Melbourne, which frankly I find hard to believe. They think it's tightness. He didn't do a lot on Monday, having said it was only just a recovery session for the Demons on Monday. None of the players did much. They're training at 9:30 this morning, and I think I'd be hopeful to see May do a bit more. I mean, at some point, they'll have to step it up. But Melbourne hope this is just a back-related issue as opposed to being a strain or anything like that. And they insist to me that he will be okay for the grand final. And they're not predicting any changes. Nathan Jones' timing was impeccable heading back to Melbourne because he had his baby girl's twins over the weekend, which was perfect timing because he returned
just in the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time, giving up on his grand final dream. I don't think he would have been selected, to be honest with you. But it still would have been hard getting to the airport, but it would have been made all the more, justified the decision, didn't it? Because when he got home, he had beautiful girls, which is just so special.
Absolutely. I'm sure he's not regretting his decision one bit there. Family's got to take priority there, of course. The Brownlow's coming up Sunday night. What's the logistical background to what's going to go on the night?
Melbourne and the Bulldogs will be in separate rooms, so the players can't integrate with the function itself.
Yep.
Well, it does seem strange in the sense that Melbourne is over here and out in the community anyway, the Bulldogs albeit quarantined, but the AFL obviously not taking any chances if there's a problem at the Brownlow that caused the grand final to not be played. I can understand the AFL's thinking there. And so the winner, I think, has to come from behind the stage and get presented in quite a sort of an isolated and disciplined way, go back behind the stage, not sort of see anyone per se, then get back to their team area.
Yeah, right. Well, will the WA sides be attending as well? So players from Freo and West Coast?
Yeah, they will. And the AFL is trying to get as many of the potential winners in the room as possible here in Perth. So I wouldn't be surprised if Wines flies in the next few days.
Yeah, well, it might be a fair indication if we do end up seeing him fly in, but we'll watch that space.
Does the AFL actually know that? It's always, I might find
Yeah, you got to wonder, don't you?
Well, they used to come in the KPMG, security vault.
Yep.
But I assume someone at the AFL must have tallied up the votes, but perhaps they haven't. I mean, I think the official line is no, they haven't. They don't know until the night, but who knows?
Yeah, they're not going to admit it even if they did know. There's hardly an episode that we do without a bit of Carlton chat. What is the latest down there?
I've been big on Carlton, Tommy. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Well, they're in the news. There's plenty going on down there.
Now, I revealed on Sunday night that Diesel's got this paid position at the club. I also reported yesterday that they've got interviews this week. Now, there's a view, Tommy, that their process is fairly shambolic. It was discussed on Footy Classified on Monday night. And I must admit, it does present that way. I mean, you've got Diesel in charge, who, you know, 12 months ago didn't have a sort of a senior role in football. I know he's obviously got very good football knowledge. You've got Luke Sayers running around sort of trying to find coaches. They haven't got a CEO. They haven't got a coach at the moment. So a lot of this criticism of Carlton might have some justification. But I think just to appease or calm Carlton fans down, I can report they have actually started proper interviews. And Michael Voss, Daniel Gene Siracusa, and also Adam Kingsley, I think, will get interviewed this week. They even started those interviews late last week. Now, Michael Voss, I think, will be on Zoom, I'm told, obviously via Adelaide later this week. I think the others will be in person. And what's interesting with all that for mine is that Luke Sayers came out and said they wanted a senior, experienced coach, clearly targeting like Clarkson or Brad Scott.
Yep. Ross Lyon.
Or Ross Lyon. They've missed out on those three. And now clearly they're looking at Voss, who doesn't have a lot of success, but he has got experience.
Yep.
And then two inexperienced coaches. So I think that the goalposts have shifted in that regard.
Yeah, well, they've definitely changed their tune, but I think
that's... But there's some method in the madness, Tommy.
Yeah, well, we'll see who ends up getting it. It's a little bit of a Stephen Bradbury kind of race at the moment, but...
It is. There aren't... And what Carlton's hoping is if they appoint... what Diesel's hoping, Greg Williams, is they appoint Brian Cook, the Geelong CEO, outgoing Geelong CEO, that'll help sort of get the place into shape, and then the football decisions will stem from that. That'll help them get a better coach. But I don't even think the processes are aligned because Cook hasn't done a deal with Carlton yet. I think that's a little bit further away than what some people have reported. I'm not saying it won't happen.
Yeah.
Cookie's a very good negotiator. But, look, if I was Cookie, I'd be looking at Carlton going, they've got a few issues. Not the easiest job in the world sorting them out. So he's in a pretty strong negotiating position there, Cookie. You know, and the coaching process has really already started this week. But it's not a stellar field. Having said that, Collingwood are really happy that they've got Craig McRae. And maybe Kingsley or Gene Siracusa or Voss, seeking to go around, might end up being brilliant coaches. So I guess you'll never know until you give them a try.
Yeah, a bit of a rescue mission for Brian Cook if he ends up getting there. But
he won't be well paid, Tommy.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure he will be. He's got the runs on the board. That's for sure. Speaking of Brian Cook, and it's a nice little segue, the Cats, there's a bit of turnover in their assistants this off-season.
Yeah, so Matty Knights has gone to West Coast as an assistant. I don't think Geelong over the weekend were planning much assistant coach change, but they could be forced into three assistant coach changes, which I think is more accidental than by design, because there's a couple of clubs, I think Collingwood included, interested in Scarlett and Enright. So
okay.
But my mail out of the Cattery yesterday is that Scarlett and Enright are more likely to stay, but they're being sounded out. So it's possible next season, if Chris Scott stays as we expect, he will. As I expect he will. He might have some fresh voices around him, which frankly might not be a bad thing. I mean, I know Chris is quite fixed in his, you know, some of his views, and he's a very good coach, but having some other voices around can sometimes, you know, on reflection be a good thing. So Geelong working through that at the moment.
Yeah, it might freshen the place up a little bit and reinvigorate them for next season, but there's plenty to play out through the off season, as we know. Before we wrap it all up, we'll touch on our trade Wednesday. We'll start with Rory Lobb. What's the latest there?
Rory Lobb is interested in leaving Fremantle, I understand, if the correct deal presented. He doesn't necessarily want to leave. I think Fremantle definitely want him to stay. But he's on, I'm told, about $700,000 a year. Now, give or take, it's a lot of money. So I don't think anyone with a couple of years of his contract to run would be interested in him at this stage unless Fremantle paid some of that money, and I can't see them doing that. So I don't think Rory Lobb will be going anywhere, but it's just an interesting name to keep an eye on in trade period.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with him because he's quite versatile and might depend where he wants to play, really. It seems like he he was kind of recruited as more of a ruckman. Now Sean Darcy's taken over that mantle and they're looking to play Lobb as a key forward. But you'd imagine there would be demand for him, but the price tag might be scaring a few away. Speaking of Freo, Lachie Neale obviously been in the news. Now, you've sent me through your list here and you said potential Lachie Neale backflip. What's the latest?
The potential's nil. I went for a function last
We're clarifying
night.
That now. It's not happening.
It's not happening. His name came up and it was asked, is there any chance, he could backflip at the last minute? His name could pop up in trade period. I think the answer is a firm no.
We're stamping that one out. No more Lachie Neale chat to Freo.
No.
Beautiful. And a couple of Tigers who have struggled for a bit of a look in, but they're firmly on the rival club's radars in Coleman Jones and Chole.
I think Coleman Jones toured or met with the Gold Coast over the weekend, one source suggested. The Gold Coast won't comment on that to me. But I think North Melbourne is leading the race for Coleman Jones and then the Gold Coast. And there's still some persistent talk around Chole and the Bombers, but that's not resolved as yet. But where those two guys go, if they go, as expected, will also impact the Lobb sort of situation because they're all sort of like those talls are sort of, I guess, vying for similar positions.
There's always a bit of a merry-go-round with those key position players. And as ever, we'll be all over it whenever the news drops. Or you've got your sources everywhere and you're in Perth at the moment, so nothing will be slipping through the cracks.
Tommy, I think the AFL will confirm Brad Scott as the it's an adjusted role, but the general manager of football effectively, I think, in the next few days. I think Rob Holt will have an expanded portfolio under him. I think Travis Old might even have an expanded portfolio. I think the AFL is beginning to position Travis as Gil McLachlan's successor.
Yep.
Whether that goes through or not, time will tell. But I think he's certainly got the support of Gil, Travis Old, to become the new CEO of the AFL. It's up to the commission. But I think Travis Old very much front and square over here in Perth, helping organise the finals. And I don't think it's an accident on the part of the AFL. I think he's taking up more and more responsibility. Gil's in charge, don't get me wrong. But Travis is in pole position now to take over from Gil.
Yeah, well, he's done a mountain of work this year and last year, for that matter, just trying to get everything up and going. So he's got the runs on the board there, and I'm sure he'd be a good candidate. That'll just about do us for today. Thanks for joining us again, Tommy. We'll stay tuned to the Triple M Footy socials for all your latest, and we'll be back on Friday for another episode.
Thanks, Tommy.